931 on the Fan, and make sure no one thinks that this is recorded. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He's the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app, which is free, or wherever you get your podcast. Brian Baldinger joins us right now. Hello, Baldy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. I know you're making your tours and you're making your rounds of all the teams, and it's Hall of Fame weekend, so this is usually when the national media descends upon Cleveland. As of right now, are the Browns making a major mistake if they start anybody but Joe Flacco week one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Joe is the most qualified. He's won games for Cleveland. Forget about his age. The arm is just as good as ever. He's in great shape, and he understands what he's doing out there right now. I don't think there's any rush. I mean, I don't know what Kenny's status is with his hamstring, and I haven't seen the rookies play yet, but I would think that, you know, it would behoove the Browns to win week one if their best chance to win is, I think, with Joe right now.
Okay, that's fine, Baldy, and we respect your football acumen. 9-9 yesterday, Shador Sanders. 9-9. I mean, come on. 9-9.
All right. We're charting these practices now.
Now, touchdowns.
Honestly, I mean, I see this stuff. Like, I know you're tongue in cheek here with this thing, but I mean, I do see these people that think, like, this is, like, I don't know, like, this is how you're winning the job on September 7th, is by what you do here, you know, in a practice session. Like, it's just not really the way it is.
You know, we joked, we had John Greco on earlier, and somebody, we like to bring on the football guys, the guys in the trenches, and he said, you know, he used to laugh about that. Guys talking about, especially like first day of pads, and you've got, you know, the people, the consumers, they want to know this stuff. They want to know how many completions, how many touchdowns, but the people that actually played the game, you know the circumstances, they can certainly dictate things. In Pittsburgh, they're talking about how Big Ben used to throw interceptions intentionally to either show up receivers or whatever. So what can we take away? What should we be looking for when we're watching these quarterbacks operate?
Well, I mean, you're looking for completions. I mean, I'm not undermining, you know, the stat yesterday. But you're looking for completions. You're looking for command. You're looking for growth. You're looking for, does he get to a second read when Jerry Jeudy isn't open on the first read? Can he get to Cedric Tillman? Whatever. I mean, you're just looking for growth within the offense. Now, you know, some of these drills, the offense, you know, the defense is coming after you, and sometimes, you know, Myles Garrett is, you know, saving him for something a little bit more important. So, I mean, I do think you have to kind of temper the enthusiasm, but you're looking for growth. You're looking for, like, in any position. You know, when I first started out as a rookie, free agent, I mean, I couldn't block Randy White the first 2 weeks of practice. But when I did block him in the third week, I went out and partied my ass off. You know, like it was, I felt like I was getting better. You know, I could stop the best defensive tackle in football. So you're just looking for growth. Sometimes it's minuscule. Sometimes it's just the way that you get the verbiage out of your mouth on an audible call. Sometimes it's identifying a particular defense and what they're doing. There's so many different ways that we can't really see. But, you know, the quarterback rooms, you know, the guys in the huddle, they can see it, and they know when it's going on.
Brian Baldinger joining us on the show. There's been a lot of – I mean, when you have four guys competing for a quarterback job, allegedly, I mean, I really think it was Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco maybe competing for the starting job, and then who's going to be the primary backup after that. You get a lot of crazy scenarios thrown out there. One of those scenarios was trading Dillon Gabriel, a third-round pick, or Shador Sanders, a fifth-round pick. If you're the Browns, I don't think anybody's going to offer you something crazy for either one of these guys. Would you ever entertain trading either one of these guys? I mean, what does it hurt to keep them there to see whether or not one of them has it, especially a guy like maybe Shador, who a lot of people feeling his ceiling is going to be very high?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trade him. I mean, you just drafted him. You don't know what you have yet. I mean, you haven't played a game yet. I wouldn't trade either one of them. But they also knew that when they drafted these guys and they traded for Kenny Pickett and they brought Joe back, they knew it was going to be a crowded quarterback room. And we all knew when they went to camp with four quarterbacks like this, that the reps were, you know, it wasn't going to favor anybody in trying to win a job right now, just because it's so limited with basically one practice a day, if you get that, and just three preseason games. It's not going to be a substantial, you know, amount of work for anyone. And you really want to make the evaluation, you know, when Betonio and Teller and, you know, the whole offense line is out there. And so it's very limited. It's very difficult. But I would not trade either one of them right now. I'd like to see them in some game action to see what they look like.
Brian Baldinger with us. So Kevin Stefanski has evolved the offense depending on who the quarterback has been. We've seen it change up in season when Flacco came in a couple of years ago, helped him get to the playoffs. Then it was Deshaun Watson. It changed again. Now it's evolved again depending on who wins this battle. So how difficult is that in terms of an evaluation? Because, you know, yesterday I'm seeing a lot of short passes mostly from the team, but yet, you know, we as fans, we want to see guys that have a ceiling. We want to see guys take chances and throw the ball down the field.
Well, I mean, that's how ultimately you're going to beat Baltimore or Pittsburgh or Cincinnati with, you know, their ability to score points, especially Cincinnati, Baltimore. So, you know, you got to be able to put points up and points come out, you know, come out of the offense with explosive plays. So you got to take your shots. But that's kind of how the offense is. I mean, I think you're going to go back to, you know, running the football and play action passes off of it. And that plays to Joe's strength, ability to, you know, to read the defense on those deep drops and the offense line giving them time to take the shots to Jerry Jeudy and the group going down the field. So, I mean, those are going to come. They're not the highest percentage of throws. You know, the shorter passes, the plays in the middle of the field are the better percentage. But you're going to have to take your shots if you're going to compete in this division right now.
How much does, for a guy like Kevin Stefanski, 6 years in, he's been with some of these vets all 6 years, how much does their opinion weigh into when a rookie would get to play or when a younger quarterback would get to play like Kenny Pickett?
You know, I think Kevin is a smart guy. You know, I mean, he's been handed a pretty difficult hand here. But, you know, he's been a good coordinator. He's been a good play caller. You know, it's a lot to ask right now from Kevin. But I think he has a plan about how he's going to go about getting these guys a certain amount of reps to really make some, you know, deeper evaluations about who could be the backup. Because I think Joe is the starter. So who's going to be the backup to Joe? And how long is Joe the starter? I mean, if they get off to a rough start, does it make any sense to, you know, play Joe if, you know, I mean, it looks like you're not going to have a winning season. You're not going to be very competitive. I mean, you might as well put some of those guys in. Those are decisions that get made maybe in October. And so for right now, it's about, you know, making sure you get the right evaluation for the guy that's going to be the next man up, because that guy is always one play away.
Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger joining us on the show. Do you find Kevin Stefanski to be a top half NFL head coach?
Yeah, I like Kevin. I like Kevin a lot. He's gotten to the playoffs, what, twice now? You know, it's not, you know, they've had difficulty, obviously, at the quarterback position. Nobody has juggled more quarterbacks than Kevin. You know, he looked a lot better as a play caller when Kirk Cousins lined up every single day in Minnesota as the quarterback. And they won a lot of games. But I would say that he's in the upper half. I think he's got a command of the team. I think they respond to him. And, you know, for those kind of things, he's got some stability because of it.
You know, it's unfortunate, Baldy, what's happened at the start of camp, the running back position. You've had an injury, and then you've had a player not signed yet who, unfortunately, is dealing with some legal issues in Florida. With Quinshon Judkins, he was taken 36 overall. First of all, how big of a blow is it for him not to be there now? And does it matter whether he's a running back, whether he's a tight end, a quarterback? Do you think it matters depending on the position on how much they'll be behind?
Well, he's going to be behind. It's, you know, it's very unfortunate, but it's the reality, and so you have to deal with it. But I would say if there's one position that you can get up to speed quicker than any other position on the field is the running back position. I mean, so much of that is just instincts and vision, and it looks like Quinshon has all of those abilities. That's kind of the sweet spot of the draft for running backs, top of the second round. That's where he was. So, look, I think I'm not going to say you're going to plug and play him whenever he gets this legal matter handled, and we'll see the fallout of that. But I would say, you know, if there's one position you can get him on the field the quickest and count on some production, it's the running back position.
What does the success look like if Aaron Rodgers works out in Pittsburgh? Do you think he'll work out in Pittsburgh?
I think he's got a good chance. I thought that he struggled last year, but he was banged up for much of the year, especially to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the most penalized team in football last year. I mean, they had the ball on the 1 yard line against Denver in week 4, and they couldn't score. And all they needed was a touchdown to win the game. You know, they were so heavily penalized. I don't think you're going to get that in a Mike Tomlin coach team. So I think the stability that every quarterback really requires to be successful, he's going to get that. He's got a star X receiver that I think is going to get a lot of targets in DK. I think he's going to fall in love with his 6'7" tight end, Darnell Washington. And if the line, you know, comes together, they've been working on it for 3 years now, trying to get this thing together. If it comes together, I think he's got a chance for some success. But, you know, watching him last year, I mean, he was not great at the end of games when you needed Aaron to be great. He looked like a 40-year-old quarterback for a lot of the season last year. I know he finished strong, but, I mean, I think you have to, if you're evaluating Aaron, and I'm going to see him tomorrow in Latrobe, but if you're evaluating him right now, you got to think, and you got to play against him in game plan, you got to think you're going to get the best of Aaron Rodgers and not a broken down 41-year-old quarterback. You got to think that the arm is going to be elite, decision-making is going to be elite, and that's how you have to game plan it right now.
You had a chance to talk to Lamar Jackson as part of your coverage recently. When you are at Baltimore, obviously they are looking at getting through in the playoffs and having Lamar play at a different level in the postseason. Do you think it changes anytime soon with them, or do you think they'll just continue to be a great regular season team? He'll be a great regular season quarterback, but come postseason, there's still some issues.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, I know they've lost in the postseason. I mean, Mark Andrews catches the ball at the goal line, they probably win that game, and they march on, they beat Buffalo. Those things happen. But I think he just is an improving player. He's 28 years old. I mean, Peyton Manning won his Super Bowl when he was 31. I mean, you look through the list of guys who won Super Bowls and what their age was sometimes. Sometimes you just got to keep chopping wood. I mean, Lamar's is not going to regress. He's not going backwards. The guy's only improving. Nobody sees the field on the dead run better than him in this business. And so, you know, you throw 41 touchdowns and 4 interceptions and run for about 1,000 yards. I mean, we've never seen anything like it. And I think in the third year of Todd Monken's system and what T. Martin is helping him do at the quarterback position as his coach, I think he's just going to improve. And he is a hungry, hungry man, not just to win a Super Bowl, but to win multiple Super Bowls. I mean, that's how he's wired. So I got to think that you're going to see an improved play in the postseason. There was a time they get to the postseason he was injured. Now he seems to have gotten over all of that. And I think the better days are in front of him.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the hotline. Brian, does it bother you what guys who didn't play at a high level have said about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen? Are they just the victims of playing in the same generation as Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I mean, there was always, you know, there was Tom Brady before that, and there was, you know, Troy Aikman and guys that won a lot of Super Bowls. But unfortunately or unfortunately, all quarterbacks get measured by how they play in the postseason. Peyton Manning was basically in that same category of Josh and Lamar until he won a Super Bowl. He didn't win the national championship at Tennessee. T. Martin did. I mean, that's what they said about Peyton, and he walked into the Hall of Fame. So all quarterbacks, you know, get scrutinized a little bit differently, but until Josh and Lamar actually win a Super Bowl the way Jalen Hurts just did this year, look, Jalen Hurts just won a Super Bowl this year, and people can't figure out how to put him in the top 10 as, you know, quarterbacks in this league. And all he does is win. So, I mean, everybody's going to be scrutinized different. And that's just part of the territory and part of the position and part of, you know, making elite money in this business right now.
It seems like in many ways, Baldy, that the NFL has become the NBA. Only seems like I hear about four or five teams that everybody references that can win the Super Bowl. Is there a team outside of the normal ones that everybody talks about that you think we are all overlooking?
Well, I think you'd be crazy if you're overlooking Washington. I think you'd be crazy if you're overlooking Tampa. You know,
Tampa?
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Baker plays
Tampa. You'd just be crazy. I mean, all they've done is win the division 4 years in a row. And, you know, Baker just had one of the top 10. I know you don't want to hear this in Cleveland, but, you know, there's only 10 quarterbacks in the history of this game that did what Baker did last year. Throw for over 40 touchdowns and 4,500 yards. And he's got, now when his left tackle gets back, it's a big blow to that team right now, but he will be back, Tristan Wirfs. You know, he's a guy that can line up with Miles, you know, and go toe-to-toe without help and do, you know, probably as good as anybody else, be able to handle Miles one-on-one. So, and he is a difference maker at that position. But, you know, I think that Tampa is, you know, they've improved their defense with what they did in the draft, and they ran the ball great last year, something they weren't able to do when Tom Brady was the quarterback and winning a Super Bowl. So I think that's just an improving team right now.
Brian, we can't thank you enough for the time. We know you're busy as hell with all the training camp stuff going on. Look forward to seeing you. Look forward to watching you on NFL Network. Yeah. Take care.
All right, you bet, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Brian Baldinger joining us. Odyssey NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. No one's going to believe me when I say this because I'm a host in Cleveland. And I had given up on him. I had absolutely given up. I didn't want to go trade for the guy they traded for, but I didn't think that he was going to be able to get the thing out of the fire. I don't have ill will or any angered feelings or anything about the entire Baker situation or about Baker Mayfield. I don't. No one wants to believe that because it's fun to argue. I look at it as a mistake that, all right, they're going to have to learn from at some point. Like, I don't know how Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders are going to play, right? So we'll find out about that. But say they perform the way a lot of people think they're going to perform, and we go get a quarterback next year. I think we're probably going to, if you are in this generation, in the AFC, and you were going up against guys who are already in their prime, Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, Mahomes, we're going to do all this again with the next guy. Unless he comes in and he's as good as Mahomes.
Yeah.
We're going to do this again. So it's, I hope.
The hope is that those guys either plateau or their physical traits start to erode because they're going to be getting into their 30s.
But I'm telling you, it's going to happen again because you're going to raise the profile of what this football team's supposed to be. So when it comes to Baker, yes, I would much rather be arguing about what it takes for Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns to get through the second round of the playoffs. I think that's where we'd be. I think we'd be arguing that he can't beat Lamar in the postseason or he can't beat Josh Allen or Mahomes, and I think that's a much healthier place to be in than where we're at right now, clearly. But I do feel that all those guys are still going to be there, and we're still going to have that argument with whoever, whether it be the Colin Cowherd theory that goes out there and ends up being Arch Manning, probably won't, whether it be Drew Aller, who knows, whether it be Lenore Sellers, whether it be anybody. I think we'll have that same conversation. I don't want the guy to be a bust, especially because we're going to have two first-round picks, so I'm already holding my breath, but I feel we're going to be in that same spot. I hope that whoever they get, one, they're able to handle him better than what the Browns did with Baker. Two, they handle it, being the quarterback X, handles it better than what Baker did, because Baker's even been honest about that. And yeah, I know, when you're being really successful, it's easy to look back on things and go, oh yeah, I admit this, that, and the other. Maybe he's being that way, I'm not sure. It's easier to do that, fair. But I hope everybody handles the situation. I just look at it as a mistake that they have to grow from. And even myself in talking about the Browns, like, will I reach a point in 4 years with quarterback X, where I'm like, you sure you guys want to do this? You sure you want to run this kid out of town? You sure we want to have this conversation again? Like, that's the only thing I try to do is grow from a mistake. Do we want to give up 3 first-round picks for a quarterback? Do we want to do that? Why is he available? In a league that's so strong for quarterbacks, why is this guy? Like, learn from a mistake. He got $30 million guaranteed. I could be petty and say, why didn't you pay him? Because you could always pay him earlier and then not have to pay him later, but at the same time, he's getting $30 million guaranteed next year. Congratulations on all his success. I like that Brian Boldinger ripped on camp stats. I love that he ripped on camp stats. Listen, I'm not opposed to the content. I'm just as guilty as anybody. It drives content. It drives SEO. You see something where you see Shador Sanders, 9 for 9. I got to click on that. I know that drives content. I'm not going to introduce it into an argument for Shador Sanders, or certainly not against him. 9 for 9, you're not going to introduce it against Shador Sanders, but I'm not going to dump on the guy if he goes 4 for 12 according to the stats, or if he goes 9 for 9 according to the stats.
Well, what does it say to you that I let off the show or when we first started talking Browns today and I said, yeah, I don't care what the other quarterbacks are doing. I only care about one. Not even the starter. I mean, yeah, I hope Flacco is not looking like he fell off a cliff.
I kind of want to ask if everybody else believes the thing you're believing. Do you really only care about one quarterback?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I think it just hit it right there for a lot of folks.
Owen is telling me to save it, so I will save it.